Amen. Stand with me as we begin the message, and we'll read the scripture. And we'll stand at our respect for the reading of God's word. We'll be in Titus chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 13. The word of God says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This morning I want to share a message entitled "Perspective Matters." Perspective matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to come together, allowing us to have the opportunity to fellowship as Christians, Lord, and to be a part of this church family. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us through your word. I pray that you will empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Maybe your words and not mine that are said this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. We talk about perspective. Perspective really, but what your perspective is really leads to your worldview and how you view the world. A worldview is a particular philosophy or life concept of the world. And the perspective that you have determines how you view what's around you. We do this all the time, especially in sports. Your perspective really determines your view of sports or who you cheer for. Listen, I'll be honest. I may live in Ohio, but my perspective on sports means I will never cheer for Cleveland. Of course, I'll never cheer for football in general, for the most part, because I don't like football. But it's just too much fun not to cheer for Cleveland. Don't worry. I also, another rule is never to cheer for the Steelers. So when they play each other, I vote for a tie. Just give me a tie every time. It'd be great. It would throw the world into chaos, all right? But your perspective on sports determines who you cheer for, whether you like sports or not. It determines your perspective on war. Listen, what side you're on determines who you think to be wrong. Your perspective on war really does mean a lot. Your perspective on good and evil. Listen, we look in the world around us, there's many people who are calling evil good and good evil. Perspective matters. In our own life, every single day, our perspective on sin matters. Because when our perspective's off, we tend not to think sin too wrong and we allow sin into our lives. Perspective matters. And as we continue in the book of Titus, this is the fourth message I've been able to share and God's given me out of this book. And as we continue in Titus and looking at perspective matters, there's three things that we're going to share this morning that enable us to have a correct perspective. A way to show us and a way for us to view the world the way we need to in order to be the Christians we should be. And I want to tell you that when we look at the Word of God, when we first look at this, the first thing we need to make, if we're going to have the right perspective, the first thing that needs to be right is the foundation. The foundation needs to be right in order for your perspective to be right. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. The Word of God says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Last time I was able to preach, I preached on purity matters, spiritual purity. The need to be
grounded in the Word of God. And we need to have a solid foundation. We need to have proper precepts. Listen, how you view the world starts with what you believe. And you need to have a solid foundation. We think about engineering and the importance of a solid foundation in engineering. You look at the One World Trade Center in New York City. Do you know that that building has a foundation that is 110 feet deep? 110 feet. The foundation is critical for that building. You see, in a skyscraper like that, you get even a millimeter off in your measurements, a millimeter off in your building, and it's not going to work. The right foundation is absolutely critical. I was looking online for just examples of buildings with bad foundations. I found one that was in South Padre Island, Texas. It was called the Ocean Tower. It was supposed to be this amazing 31-story apartment building where each apartment was going to be sold for $2 million. But as they were building it, and the construction was taking a while, and as they were building it, they realized that the building was sinking. You see, they hadn't got the foundation right. And they sold many, by the time they realized it was not a problem that was going to be able to be fixed because of the cost, they had already sold many, many apartment buildings, so they had to give it back. And eventually the building, I think in 2008, was demolished before even one person ever lived in it, because the foundation wasn't right. Let me tell you this morning. There is no better foundation than the Word of God. There's no better foundation than the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings in mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock." See, the Bible is a solid foundation. We think about Peter. Peter was one of the three disciples who got to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, that he says that the Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. It is better than eyewitness testimony. See, because the law of the Lord is perfect. Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 7, says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Word of the Lord is the sure foundation. It's what we need in order to be changed into the image of Christ. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." In order to build our life and to build our Christian life to be more like Christ, we need to have that sure foundation. We need to have that lamp unto our feet and that light unto our path. You see, the Bible as our foundation, it enables you to see the world the way it truly is. Is it your foundation? Is it your foundation? Let's go again to Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 24. And we see this parable. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." So you can tell me, and we can say with our mouths time and time and time again, that the Bible, it's our foundation. We live by the Bible. But if we don't do, that's what the Word of God says. If we don't do what is found written in God's Word, if we're not obedient to what is told us and what is revealed to us in His Word, we cannot truly say that the Bible is our foundation. See, in this parable, Jesus describes one who hears His Word and does them as a man who building his house, digs his foundation deeply upon rock. When the floods threaten it, the house remains intact on a secure base. See, the metaphor that Jesus is giving here, the parable that Jesus is giving, is very apt. It's a man's character is like a house. Every thought is like a piece of timber in that house, and every habit a beam, every imagination a window, well or badly placed. They gather all into a unity, handsome or grotesque. We decide how that house is constructed. Unless one builds his character upon the solid, rock-solid foundation of God's Word, he will surely be swept away by the flood that's now inundating the world. See, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Of the two builders in this parable, one is thoughtful. One is a thoughtful man who deliberately plans his house with an eye building to the future. The other is not a bad man, but content and careless and unexamined life. The latter seems to want to avoid the hard work of digging deep to ensure a strong foundation, and also takes a short range view, never thinking of what life will be 6 months into the future. He trades away future good for pleasure and ease. We can't live the Christian life carelessly. When our life is built upon the solid foundation of the Word of God, God will show us things in our life that need to change in order for the building to be safe and secure. And guys, can we be honest this morning? I think we all know this. That is sometimes a painful process. When God shows us something in our life that isn't glorifying to Him. And if anyone in this room, even myself, says that we've never gone through this, then either you've just never changed or you're lying. Because we are all sinners. Every single one. And if you're right, if you're being truthful, the worst sinner that you know is yourself. Because I know the worst sinner I know is myself. I know my sin. I don't know your sin. May we focus on our foundation. See, the flood obviously represents the trials of life. Frequently, the trials of life descend upon us either through our own lack of character, or because the events in the world around us, as God allows them. Is our house strong enough to withstand the onslaught of the horrendous events of this time? Can we even withstand our own weaknesses? If we do not base our foundation on the solid Word of God, it is impossible to have a correct perspective. In order to have a correct perspective, we need to first have a solid foundation, but next we need to have a future fixation. So let's go ahead and look at the fixation that we should have. Look at Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse number 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You see, your foundation determines your fixation. You might say your foundation is what you build upon, but your fixation, where you're looking to, is what you build with. As Christians, God has set us here to be a peculiar people on a peculiar path. We are not citizens of this earth. This world is not our home. You see, we have a perspective pilgrimage. The Bible says, again in verse number 13, says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I will always remember my first missions trip, which was just a couple years ago in 2018, going to Honduras. If you're not aware, I am an American. Before Honduras, I had never been out of the country, not even to Canada. I still haven't been to Canada. We were going to go last summer, but something got in the way, and so we didn't get to go. But going to Honduras, I remember just stepping off the plane and immediately looking around, getting to the bus, and just looking out the window and just seeing everything and interacting with the people. Can I just tell you, I was not a citizen of Honduras. I realized that pretty quickly. It was strange. It was strange. It was eye-opening. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about true love and true generosity and really about the need for missions, the need to spread the gospel. It changed my heart and it changed my life completely. But at the same time, one of the things, just looking back, I realized is that I was like a fish out of water. I couldn't speak their language. I couldn't communicate. I just had to stand there and be like, ¿Cómo estás? I don't even know what that means. Not anymore. ¿Dónde está el baño? That's all I needed, right? Where's the bathroom? But I was not a citizen of Honduras. And it was, if I was on my own there, that would have been really difficult. Listen, I didn't fit in. Can I just tell you this? Pastor might have spoken the language, but being 17 feet tall, he didn't really fit in either. He stuck out like a sore thumb. We weren't born there. We weren't citizens of Honduras. Can I just say this, Christians? We are not citizens of this world. And we can't act like it. Listen, you don't always agree with those who are in government, but we should never... We don't always agree with those who are in government. There's sometimes we might agree, but we should never agree and we should never live as a citizen under the authority of the prince and power of the air, of the ruler of this world. Listen, Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, that the spirit that now worketh in his children of disobedience. We are not citizens. We look at the cloud of witnesses that came before us. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. David had the same sentiment in Psalm 119, verse 19. Says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Peter, addressing the people he was writing, says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. This world is not your home. This world is not your final destination. So let's not live like it is. Let's not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moss and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And can I just say this, adding a commentary to that? Where your treasure is, there will your perspective be. Where your treasure is where is how you will view the world. It'll change your perspective. We need to set Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. It says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Again, stop acting like a citizen of this earth when you're not. Christians, we are citizens of heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 17 says, brother, be follower of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and tell you now even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose destruction end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Verse number 20 says, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, our citizenship is in heaven. And if we're going to have the right perspective, we need to realize that. We need to live like that. But I do want to tell you that just because our citizenship is in heaven doesn't mean that we don't have a present participation. If I can get that word out. I need to choose shorter words here. We have a role to play in this earth. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, starting there, says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, we live in the world, but we should not be of the world. We have a role to play. We have God's will to fulfill for our lives. You see, we are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse number 9. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse number 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We have a role to play. And listen, if our foundation isn't right, if our fixation isn't right, we won't have the right perspective. And the people here who are not yet citizens of heaven will then not see our good works. And then they will not glorify God in the day of his appearing. They need to see us. We need to be an example for us. The Bible says, Jesus Christ himself speaking in the Sermon on the Mount says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have a responsibility here. But if we're going to fulfill our responsibility, we must have the correct perspective. Because listen, when we don't have the correct perspective, you know what we don't see? We don't see our responsibility. We don't see that we have a responsibility. We don't see that we have a task that has been set before us. We need to make sure that we're set on a solid foundation. We need to make sure that our fixation is on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But we also, can I just say this? We also need to remember the facts. The facts about who we were and who we are. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As Christians, we need to be able to remember who we were and really who we are without Christ. I got saved when I was 13 years old at the Wilds Christian Camp in North Carolina. But when I look back, my family started going to Walnut Creek Baptist Church in Erie, Pennsylvania when I was 7 years old. And through the time that we were there, I made many professions of faith, but never really truly trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And just thinking back of that time before I trusted Christ, listen, let's just say that I was not a perfect kid. There was many times I caused a whole lot of grief for my parents. I caused a lot of grief. And just remembering back to being in school, being in public school, and just the different things that that I know, the sins that I committed and who I was. And remembering that without Christ, where I'd be. I can think about the classmates that I had. I'll never forget two of the classmates, and I've talked about this before, but two of the classmates, one's name was Adam, and the other's name was Mitchell. And, just growing up, they were always the fastest and the strongest and the most popular kids. And I remember being young and looking at them and wanting their popularity and wanting everyone to look at me like they look at them, because I wanted to be the fastest. I wanted to be the strongest. That's what, when you're a child, that's what you want. But I remember just wanting that and wanting that and wanting that. And looking back now and, seeing just, Christ having changed my life and seeing really the path that they were on and knowing that, man, I was dumb for wanting that. Because both Adam and Mitchell are dead, having overdosed on heroin. Yeah, they were the fastest. They were the strongest. Can I just tell you something? Without Christ, that's what my flesh desired, was the path that they were on. My perspective was off. Because it wasn't Christ's perspective. But you see, when I think back to that, think back to the fact that without Christ, knowing where I could be, but knowing that my sins would not be forgiven, knowing that I would not be redeemed, knowing that my sins would not have been purged without Christ, you know what? It helps me not to get my nose too high. Not to think myself better than other people in this world who are not Christians. It is very easy to look at the world and wonder, why in the world are you doing what you are doing? Some of the stuff that the world does, when we just sit down look at it just briefly, it just boggles our mind. Like, how is this even logical to anyone? We have to remember the world has no solid foundation. And before Christ, when I was looking and desiring and doing, I had no solid foundation. And I know that even though I was only 13 and below, I did a lot of stupid things. I did a lot of dumb things. When we see the world do things that just make us scratch our head, and to be honest, even make us angry. I think this is true, that the world does some things sometimes that make us angry. But the world is doing just what comes natural. They're following the flesh. See, we can get angry at the world all we want to. But let me tell you something. If you were without Christ, you'd be right there with them. When we look at the world and see the world doing things that hurt people, we see the world doing things that just it's not right. We need not to look at the world in anger. We need to look at the world realizing they are the reason that Jesus Christ came. They are not the enemy. They are the mission field. We need to remember who we are. We need to look at ourselves. Listen, I don't know if I'm the only one that's ever done this, but I remember just many times in the past sitting and listening to someone preach and sitting there and just hands, I don't need to mess up this, my hands were crossed and just leaning back in my seat. I hope that guy's listening. I think you're laughing because you're guilty, right? We've all done that, haven't we? Do you know where our perspective really needs to be? I hope I'm listening. Because I need this message. We need to remember the facts of who we are. We need to remember the stranglehold that sin had on us. Again, look at verse number 3 of Titus chapter 3. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived." Listen, the world is deceived. They're doing the things they're doing because they are deceived. They are following the direction of the prince of the power in the air. They are following the direction of their faith. Listen, they need us to show them the right way. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. And it wasn't by anything we've done, because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Listen, we need to remember who we came from, where we came from, and who we were. In order to have a correct perspective, we must remember that we are not special. And we are not better than anyone else. This is all, everything that is different about us is because of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and we read the first 10 verses of that chapter. It says, "And you hath He quickened, not ourselves, but hath He quickened, who were dead, separated from God in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others." And we'll stay right there. Listen, that is who we were. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, that is who you are. But I love that beginning of that next verse, verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead or separated from Him, from him in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship," not our own, "His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Christian, we need to remember who we are and where we came from. It needs to affect how we interact with the world. We need to have that correct perspective. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, Paul is telling Titus to put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And if you read further, you'll see that the reason he's saying that is because of who we were. Because without God, we'd still be there. Listen, we need to have the correct perspective. We need to have our foundation. We need our perspective to be on Christ with that firm foundation of the Word of God. We need to have our perspective to be fixated on Him on His throne and not on earthly things. And the entire time, we need to remember where we came from. We need to remember the fact that without God, we too are just sinners. And with that perspective, in everything we do, we need to glorify God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. But it all starts with the foundation. Is your life, are you building on the foundation of the Word of God? In other words, when God convicts you of something, when God shows you something in your life that is not right, do you change it? It'd be pretty irresponsible for someone who's building a house to have the foundation and be building something and realize that the thing he's building or what he's building with is not good, but then to just keep building. Right. Isn't that what we do? God, we're building, and God says that's not good material to build with. You need to swap it out. It's the correct material, but no, like, well, this is good. It'll be okay. Swap it out. Get rid of it. Let it go. You need to build with the right fixation, remembering who we are.